The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio. Thanks for tuning in this weekend. As our intro by Frank B. Shaner, the legendary radio disc jockey, Frank B. Shaner. I mentioned it's Saturday from 5 to 6, but we did add a day, a Sunday, from 3 to 4 p.m. on here on AM 690, The Answer. And so, you know, if you've been seeing the recent cover story, the medical cannabis on the cover, don't let the picture scare you, because I know it has scared a few people. I personally deliver about 3,000 copies every issue comes out, and I was walking into a business building a couple weeks ago, and a lady saw the cover. He heard about the cover and knew I would be stopping by, and she looked at me and says, "Don't bring it in here." I said, "What are you talking about? I saw the cover, and I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to read it." I said, "Listen, I understand it might be a little scary, but read the story. And tell me how you think, what you think about it after you read it." And I saw the lady about a week ago. And she said, "Percy, you are right. I read about it and I was surprised what I learned." And that's what we try to do, learn, make, get people educated. You know, as a resource magazine, that's what we want people to do. We don't push anything onto anybody. And actually, it took me 4 months to really think about doing this cover story. So I heard about it, I tracked it, I followed it. And finally, I talked to some doctors and some seniors, and we went for it, and it's actually flying off the racks. So if you don't got a copy, go to our website, generations808.com, and look for the cover story. You can download the whole magazine, the PDF copy, and read it at your leisure. And as you know, all our past radio and TV shows are housed on our website. So thanks for tuning in today, and thanks for listening if you're listening to our past recordings. So anyway, we're here. So I wanted to get more in depth. I mean, I know a lot about a lot of things with regard to seniors and resources, but I'm not an expert in any of that. So I brought in one of the local experts here from Aloha Green Apothecary, and Helen Cho. So welcome to the show, Helen.
Hi, great to be here.
Yeah, I saw you in a paper. You were quoted in a few new things that we'll talk about later on in the show. But I wanted to get, not only for myself, but I know our listeners, but kind of get more in depth on how did this begin, and then we'll cover some current event stuff that recently happened yesterday. I don't know if you saw the news yesterday about marijuana and cannabis and the history of that, of cannabis. So,
sure.
You know, I talked to you on the phone before, and you know a lot about this industry. So why don't you help our listeners and to kind of understand fully what this is all about.
Sure. Let's do a little crash course on the history of cannabis. It's actually very, very old in terms of its relationship with mankind. There's historical and archaeological evidence that ties cannabis use to us going back 12, 13, 14, even 20,000 years.
Really?
Yeah. So this is something that is a natural medicine that's been figured out and is treated like any other plant medicine by a lot of different cultures historically. It's role now in society as this feared drug is a relatively new thing that really took hold right after alcohol prohibition ended in America was when they really cracked down on marijuana. Mm. And that's where a lot of this propaganda came out, with it being this dangerous drug, where it's a gateway drug, where it makes people crazy. A lot of the movies, what's that movie that came out? Reefer Madness,
okay,
that kind of stuff was all from that era. And a lot of it has stayed. There's a lot of stigma with cannabis even now, but the tide is changing and people are going back to recognizing a lot of the medicinal qualities that it has. If you look at many of the pharmaceutical drugs that exist, a lot of them start as some sort of plant feature that is generally known either in traditional Chinese medicine or, you know, lots of cultures have their own sort of understanding of their local plants. And a lot of the pharmaceuticals, they start with that little bit of information that's found in the natural world, and then they'll derive chemical versions of it, and it turns into a pharmaceutical drug. We are experiencing something similar where they're beginning to recognize that cannabis has medicinal properties, and there's already drugs now that have been FDA approved that are in fact derivatives of marijuana.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yep.
Oh, you know, was I talking to you? I wasn't sure. I've been talking to a lot of people since this article came out, and because somebody asked me, what does marijuana mean?
Right.
What does it stand for? Was I talking to you about that?
You weren't talking to me, but before we even go into the medicinal stuff, there is a lot of social context around marijuana. So people are like, well, what's the difference between marijuana and cannabis and weed and hash and hemp? And what a lot of it is actually just the same thing that's called different things by different people for different reasons. One of the most familiar or well-known terms is marijuana. And in Hawaii, actually, we don't use the term marijuana. We passed a bill through legislation where the state and all of the official language around marijuana is not marijuana. Instead, we use the word cannabis.
Right.
Cannabis is the more scientific term and doesn't have a lot of social context. Negative connotations tied to it. The word marijuana, another quick history lesson, it sounds Latin, sounds Hispanic. Mm-hmm. And that word actually was, they started using that word around the same time when there was prohibition on cannabis, where everything cannabis was bad. And the story is that cannabis came in to the United States during a time when Mexico was having a civil war, and there were a lot of refugees that were coming into the States. And many of them, they did bring cannabis with them. And so in an effort to stoke a lot of fear about cannabis, they called it something that a lot of the Mexican refugees would call it, which is marijuana. And they made it sound like this exotic thing that came from Mexico. It sounds Latin, and it just sounds so un-American.
Yeah.
And it's got this historical context where they chose that word specifically because it sounded so not American.
Right. What does the word mean?
It doesn't mean anything. So if you ask a lot of people who speak Spanish, like, what are the roots of the word it doesn't really mean anything.
That's what I heard.
Yes. Oh. But cannabis has a scientific root to the word. I think it's like cannabis sativa is the name of the strain or the plant.
Right. That's what I heard.
Yeah. Oh. So marijuana doesn't really have strong, the etymology of that word is not very strong. It doesn't mean much. And so
it is an exotic, cool name.
It is. Think about it. But it's also scary for people who don't know what it is. It is. Yeah. So that's kind of how it was used. And now it's used pretty ubiquitously. But a lot of the states and areas that kind of understand the historical context, we've all made efforts to not use that word and use the word cannabis instead. But it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. When it comes to hemp and cannabis are actually the same kind of plant. They're slightly different species. You can think of them as like a different breed of a dog, you know. They're slightly different in the sense where chihuahuas are very small and let's say huskies are very bigger. In that sense, it's a different type of plant that has different ratios of compounds in it. And the qualities of hemp is that it's got stronger fibers, so you can use that for clothing and stuff. But it's still the same plant.
Right.
It's just a different breed of it.
Yeah. Well, I heard about that house on Maui. They built a hemp house, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Right in Kihei.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine that knows a family that built it. But it's a gateway drug, or what would you call it?
So it's been labeled a gateway drug, and gateway in the sense where it's the gate that you walk through and it introduces you to the other drug. So there has been this false sense of, you know, kids who experiment with cannabis or weed when they're younger, they end up going to harder drugs. Like, this is the gateway to the harder drugs.
The first ones they start
with. That's what they were saying. It's turning out now with actual hard evidence that that may not be the case. What's the case is looking to be the opposite, where it's the exit drug, where many people who have dependencies on not only harder street drugs and illegal illicit drugs, but also pharmaceutical drugs that we know to be very dangerous.
Like the opioids?
Exactly. It's become a tool where it's an exit drug that helps them exit
off
those off, exactly, off of others, and can help them be less dependent.
We got to write an article
on
that. I like that. No,
there's
really
a lot on there now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And, you know, I thought I did some research online. They said it was 44 states that are approved, but it's actually 33 states that have approved medical marijuana.
Well, 33 have. About 10 or 11 have approved, I believe, I can check that, recreational, which means the only difference really between medicinal and recreational or adult use cannabis, it's the same product. It's the same thing. There isn't a different type of weed or a different type of cannabis just because it's considered medical. Wow. It's actually all the same thing. It's just who's allowed to use it. Do you have to have a medical reason to use it? Or can you treat it like alcohol and tobacco, where you can just walk into a store and buy it as long as you're of a certain age? That's the only difference. A little caveat to that is, because people who need it medically tend to need it for severe cases, sometimes in a lot of states that have both, they do have separate medical dispensaries, but it's because they select cannabis medicine that's stronger and much more potent, that someone who's just doing it just for recreation may not need something that strong. Mm-hmm. And so that's really the only difference. But it's the same products. It's the same medicine. It's the same. There's a lot of people that you'll meet who do smoke or consume cannabis, maybe not medically. You know, they just like to smoke, or they just like to, you know, do weed. But what turns out to be the case most of the time is, if you have a conversation about it with them, they're usually self-medicating. There's usually, it helps with pain, or it helps with this, or it helps them go to sleep. They don't do it just to feel high. Just, you know, rarely do people just, especially when you're older, you don't go out and get blackout drunk anymore. You know, you don't do that.
No,
if you're drinking, it's usually because, you know, it's a social thing, or it really does help with your stress, or it helps you wind down after work, or it helps whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's a form of self-medication. You don't do it just for fun.
Right.
It's very similar with people who consume cannabis.
So on the national level, or the federal level, they have not approved the medical cannabis.
They have not.
And I know there's some movement going forward. So every state now, so are the states guidelines or rules a little bit, I guess, they're different all over the place?
Every state is allowed to do whatever they want, right? And when it's federally legalized, on the federal level, they'll give guidance to the state saying this is how it should be done, just like how it is with alcohol. And there is a national organization that would control and regulate that. Like, we've got the FDA that does all pharmaceuticals and Food and Drug Administrative stuff, regardless of which state it comes out of, right? Mm-hmm. But because we don't have that overall overseeing organization, every state kind of manages it their own way, which is why how things are done in California and Washington is very different from how we do it here. It's very different.
What state do we typically will follow some other states' guidelines?
Yes. So a lot of states, they tend to look at the guidelines in California and Washington, Colorado, because they've had them for the longest and they've kind of worked out a lot of the kinks. However, Hawaii is extremely conservative when it comes to the regulation of cannabis. We, in fact, here in Hawaii, the cannabis is tracked more closely than plutonium.
Really?
Yes. They really treat it like it's a dangerous.
And this is through the Department of Health?
This is this is under the Department of Health.
No, there's one, a separate. No one can't do anything else. They only worry about this. Well, there's so many criticism about the Department of Health. What are they doing? They're tracking the cannabis.
Well, to be fair, they created a separate cannabis program department, and they're understaffed. And so they don't have as many people and resources to manage this as you would think. Mm. But it's not something that the whole DOH is doing. They have
dedicated
people.
Well, they probably tax you more so they can fund more jobs in that division. That's what typically what they do.
Right.
And I don't blame them. I mean, they're trying to increase our GE tax now for public education because we're the only state in the union that doesn't use any of our property tax for education.
Oh, I see.
State in the country. Why are we so special? I don't know. So I think, you know, not to give my personal opinion, I think we need to look at some other ways of fund education. But so we pretty much followed California, Colorado, and Washington.
No, we have, we are, I would say, one of the most strictly, rigorously regulated industries in the nation. Many states, they don't require testing of the product, right?
Oh.
We have probably the most extensive testing requirements where we check for heavy metals, yeast, mold, bacteria, pesticides.
Wow.
With the regulations that we have in place with Hawaii's testing standards, essentially the cannabis that's available at the dispensaries is ultra premium.
Wow.
Cultivated at the standard of like organic.
Wow.
Organic level stuff. It's just we can't say organic because organic is a term that the FDA uses just for specific ways of growing federally legal.
Yeah. Well, I toured the largest organic coffee farm on the Big Island. It's called Kona Rainforest. And wow, I spent like 3 hours there. I was shocked at how strict they are.
Very, very strict.
To the point where if the wind's going east, they have to have barriers so nothing comes over from the lot next door.
So for us, so I guess this might be a good time to talk about how it's set up here in Hawaii. In Hawaii, there are 8 licensees. There are 3 here, 2 on Big Island, 2 on Maui, and 1 on Kauai.
But 2 different.
2 different, yeah.
So here you have 3 different
ones. We have 3 different ones here. Each of the licensees, you can only serve the island that you're on. So we can't go to Big Island or anything.
Can't open up a division over there?
No. Wow. You can only stay on the island that you're on. Wow. And you're allowed to eventually have 3 storefronts. Only on your island. So one day Oahu will have 9 if we max out all the stores. But they will all belong to 3 companies because it's 3 of them, each with 3 stores, right? The other really interesting thing about Hawaii that is unlike many of the other states is we're vertically integrated. And what that means is there's no wholesale market. We can only sell what we grew by ourselves.
So you grow everything here on
it? We must.
So let's say the Maui and the Big Island, they have to grow all their product on that island?
Yes. Wow. Everything has to be self-contained.
Well, save on shipping.
Well, the unfortunate thing is because we can only sell what we grow, let's say we were short, we can't buy it from anywhere else.
Oh,
we can't even buy and sell amongst each other.
Wow.
And so that makes it pretty
difficult.
You
think yourself having islands versus one big state.
Right, of course. But they're very strict. We're each siloed. And that means that the company, like, it seems like we're just a dispensary, but we're in fact a dispensary, a manufacturing company, a transportation company, a laboratory,
really?
And a grow. So
well,
we.
It is. I guess it keeps
it's a large company.
It keeps it in line.
Yes.
You're controlled by your own.
Yes. Yeah. And the reason why I was set up that way was because the state wanted to have as much control as possible because they're fearful. You know, they want to make sure they do a good job. They don't know how safe it is. And it's a lot more of a free-for-all type of feeling up in California and Colorado.
Oh, in Washington. I think Washington had like 500 growers
And
300 locations or something like that.
And the more players there are, the harder it is to control. So the state started with just 8. Now, there's talks about giving out more licenses, but we don't know if they'll be all vertically integrated like we are. We believe maybe that if and when they give out more licenses, they'll probably horizontal, so they'll break it apart. So they'll give you a grow license, or they'll give you a dispensary license, or they'll give you a manufacturing license, but you're not going to have the whole thing like the original eight.
So you make all the edibles too?
We make everything you sell in the you see in the dispensary, we made ourselves with our employees. We've got 65 plus employees.
Really?
Now.
Yeah. We only have one location.
We only have one location, but we have a huge grow site.
Really?
You know, we've got
can't tell us where it is.
No, we can't. Yeah. So all the grow sites.
And my friends, who tests all this stuff?
So the tests, there are two or three, I think now there's two, independent testing facilities that have to get their own license from the state. And all of our stuff is tested by those guys. Wow. So we don't test our own stuff. That wouldn't make sense.
That's how strong they are.
So that also, all of it. So we've got tests for good and bad things. The bad things, they make sure there's no pesticides and bacteria and heavy metals, all those things, all of that. And then there's also a set of required tests that that will show what's in it. How much THC is in it? How much CBD is in it? What terpenes do you have? And so terpenes.
What's that?
We'll talk about that too. Okay. And so we have a full battery of tests that's every batch of every product is required to go through before it is being able to be sold.
And that's for every dispensary?
That's for every dispensary.
Well, great. We're here with Helen Cho from Aloha Green Apothecary on King Street. And it's great. I mean, if you listen to this show, you better tell your friends to go back and listen to it again because it's great information. You know, it's interesting. I gave it to a lot of my friends I golf with and play softball with. And two of them, I've been thinking about this. Let me read a story. After I read a story a week later, he goes, yeah, I'm going to get my card. I talked to my doctors. Yeah, it would really help. And I think, you know, they don't want to take any harder drugs.
Right.
And they don't want to take any Aleve and all this other stuff that's bad for you. So let me ask you this. I mean, I don't know if you have an expert opinion or a personal opinion. Are there any side effects to this?
Every physical body, it reacts differently to different things. Cannabis will do one thing for one person that is different for another person, even though they consume the same exact amount. I don't want to say that it's got zero side effects. You know, like I don't think there's anything on the planet that has zero side effects. But it is a natural product, right? So it doesn't have these man-made parts, compounds in them. But there are less unintended side effects as there are with pharmaceutical drugs. With cannabis here in Hawaii, it can help and alleviate a lot of different symptoms. But in Hawaii, legally, to have a 329 card, you have to have one of the qualifying conditions that Hawaii says will make it legal for you to use cannabis for those symptoms. And I think right now we've got about 12 or 13 of them. There is a
symptoms
and ailments that you must have in order to get a card. And there is a process to add more, whether it's through legislation or you kind of do a petition type of process. Mm-hmm. But the ones right now, I probably won't know all of them, but chronic pain is probably the most popular. Chronic pain. There's also cancer, epilepsy, rheumatoid arthritis, ALS. Crohn's disease, spasms, Parkinson's will count under that. So there's seizures. There's a lot of different conditions. And if you have at least one of those, PTSD even.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have one of those, you can be qualified to get a card. And it helps with a lot of either directly those ailments or even the side effects from medication that you would take for those ailments. So, for example, we have a lot of cancer patients who undergo chemo, and there's a lot of unintended negative side effects to that. A lot of times cannabis can help with both directly the cancer and the side effects of chemo. Never do we ever recommend patients to replace their drugs with cannabis just directly. You know, like it's a very careful, individualized process that you have to go through with your doctor. But over time, we do find that there are many people, like we talked about before, being an exit drug, there are many people who can find that what cannabis can do for them gives them the same amount, if not more, relief than some of the pharmaceutical drugs that they take, and it doesn't have the side effects that they don't like dealing with.
Right. Well, that's what two of my other friends that are, I didn't even know they were taking it. They go, oh, I have a card. Oh, mm-hmm. Can you talk to me about it? Yeah, they said, yeah, they had sleep issues and anxiety issues, and mm-hmm. they don't longer take those drugs. I think the droplets or something.
Yep. So this would be a good time to transition into the different types of products there are.
Well, we're going to take a short break. We're here with Helen Cho from Aloha Green Apothecary on King Street. We're going to talk more about the how to get the card, the 329 card, some of the uses, and actually, I want to talk about the future of this, because I think, you know, recreational is some point going to have to pass. But on a federal level, I just heard something yesterday that we want to talk about as well. So anyway, we're going to take a short break and hang on tight and come back. We'll be back here in just a few minutes.
When you feel like Vegas, there's just one place to stay. Grab a drink at the Holo Holo Bar. There's just one place to play. We got a fresh hot look, a new sports book. We got those local meals, just like Auntie Cook's. Aloha spoken here.
Check out the Cow's new renovated look and see why the Cow is Hawaii's favorite place in Vegas to stay and play.
Have you been looking for a safe anti-inflammatory for your health and longevity? Introducing Xanthosin, a doctor-recommended astaxanthin supplement that supports your joints, heart, liver, and longevity. Xanthosin is safe, pure, and specially formulated for superior absorption. Xanthosin complies with all FDA regulations for manufacturing and labeling. Xanthosin, the safe anti-inflammatory for health and longevity. Available at a GNC store near you.
If you're new to Medicare, we can help you work your way through all the questions, the details, and the headaches. Generations TV has gathered experts in the field to help you find the answers. This is Navigating Medicare.
A very important period is coming up, what we call AEP, Annual Election Period, from October 15 to December 7.
The annual election period is when you can change from one plan to another. The plans change. The benefits, coverage, and premiums may be different. So know what you should have. What are your current health needs, your budget, and priorities? You need to make sure the medications you are currently taking are covered and that your doctor is in the network you're looking at.
Like we mentioned before, all plans are different. There's no one plan that's good for everybody. Everybody got different wants and needs. Call us and we can help you.
Helping you work your way through the confusion. Navigating Medicare. Brought to you today by Financial Benefits Insurance, serving the entire state of Hawaii from the corner of Pi'ikoi and Kapi'olani in Honolulu.
Did you know residential care homes offer a family-oriented atmosphere? At Caregivers Heart Hawaii, our kupuna become part of the family. The smaller environment allows for more personal attention. For example, there's no waiting to go to the bathroom compared to other long-term care options. The patient-to-caregiver ratio is smaller and help is faster. Over time, residential care homes are less expensive compared to other long-term care options. Our caregivers are experienced and enjoy what they do, and all homes are ADA approved. Don't feel stressed and overwhelmed or try to do this alone. Aloha, I am Ku'unani Demonte with Caregivers Heart Hawaii. Let us help you with all your care home placement needs. Caregivers Heart Hawaii has knowledge and experience. For a free consultation and to learn more about us, go to caregivershearthawaii.com, where treating kupuna like family is our business.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Hi, I'm Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group. Let us be your Medicare resource throughout the year. We have agents throughout the islands to be of assistance to you. So if you have Medicare questions, we have the answers. Call us at 808-591-4877. Again, 808-591-4877. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Hauer from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio. We are talking about the medical cannabis cover story in this February-March issue of Generations Magazine. So take a look. We also talk about, and we'll talk about today, talk about how to get the 329 card, some of the uses. We quoted some doctors in the magazine and also had some seniors. I did want to mention in this issue, we are starting mini aging in place workshops. As you know, the big one this year for 2019 is on August 17th. That's the big one with six rooms going on at one time at the Ala Moana Hotel. That's August 17th. It's a Saturday. But because it's been so full every year that I've decided to do smaller workshops, starting with March 23rd, every month we'll be doing one or two. Starting April, we'll probably do two a month, but check it out. March 23rd is at the Ala Moana Shopping Center, Ala Moana Pacific Building, Suite 1535. You need to RSVP, so give me a call, 234-3117. You can email me, percy@generations808.com, or you can text me. I've had people text me, email me, call me. It's amazing how you guys are so technologically savvy than most of the seniors I know, so thank you very much. So we'll be covering a host of topics. It's about 2.5 hours, and everybody that comes will get a booklet on the National Council on Aging's booklet on how to stay in your home and age in place. So that's March 23rd. The future dates is April 13th, which is a Saturday, May 23rd, Thursday, and June 29th is Saturday, all at the Ala Moana Pacific Building. That's the same building with Vacations Hawaii in there and Shokudo Japanese restaurant on the bottom. It's on the corner of Kaheka and Kapilani. So it's a great small workshop. You do have to RSVP because we need a head count. But check that out. Also, I started a new column called What I've Learned. And I get stuff sent to me every week, every day, pretty much, about the future of aging, different resources out there. And then locally, I read the newspaper every day in the morning with my coffee. And I peruse around looking for things. So that's something that I just put together little comments every issue. On page 18, the Aiden Dying article, as you know, the law passed January 1st, 2019. So we're going to talk about that. Hopefully we can get somebody on in a couple of weeks to talk about that. And then in April, the movie And Then They Came For Us is about the internment camps. So check out that one. That's on page 21. So this issue's got a lot of great stories. But, you know, the feature story of medical cannabis. So pick up a copy because they are running out. I've got three locations already gone after 3 weeks. So we need to replenish them. If not, go online. You can read it. You actually can read it off your smartphone. We have a great mobile app. They can look at all our past shows as well. So check that out. So anyway, we're here with Helen Cho from Aloha Green Apothecary on King Street. That's right, just right past the First Interstate Bank building, mm-hmm. Right on the ground floor, right on the street.
Right on the street.
Yeah, right on the street. So we're talking about, we're going to talk about the card. We want to talk about the uses. We want to talk about, I guess it's true, because you're flying into your island, it's covering, going over federal water, and it's illegal to carry it.
It is.
Across island. You can't buy it here and go back to Maui or vice versa. So
that's right.
It's something that we got to really think about. I don't think it's going to happen very much, but you never know. But Anyway, so what do you want to start? We talk about the uses.
Let's talk about the types of products. The traveling really quickly because it's very short. So you are not allowed to carry cannabis with you, even if you have a 3-to-9 card between the islands. And the main reason is because airports are federal spaces, as are the waters that sometimes we have to cross over. So in order to help patients with that, that's why we have licensees on all of the bigger islands. So that's why Maui has two and Big Island has two and Kauai has one, so they can at least service the patients who live on those islands. But it's become an issue where sometimes people, they have the 3-to-9 card and they think it's okay to do a lot of things that are still not legal because it is a federally restricted drug.
Yeah. Because I had a friend of mine that goes to Washington State every other month and caught a red eye one day and realized in the morning he had some in his pocket.
It happened.
But you had mentioned some of the products that there's no smell.
So there are products that you can get where they're sealed, you know, they're hermetically sealed. If you just threw them in a bag, no one would ever know. So the dogs couldn't smell them or anything like that.
But doesn't go through X-ray.
If it's in your checked baggage or something, and there are people that, like your friend, they just forget that they have it on their body. The interesting thing is you don't have TSA agents rummaging through everyone's stuff looking for drugs. It's become less of a priority. Yeah. And to my understanding, even if you were caught with it, I believe in most cases they'll just confiscate and take it away from you, but you won't get arrested or anything like that. Although every case is different. You know, I'm not giving legal advice. My advice is just don't travel with it.
Well, I understand there is a law locally here in Hawaii. They're trying to the new law is that if you have less than 2 grams or less of marijuana, it'd be a misdemeanor or
something like that.
It's
something that's being considered right now in legislation. It's interesting. In many of the states, after every legislative session, there's always more news about new states that are legalizing cannabis. And or if it's already somewhat legal in that state, refinements, stuff like this, where they start going into social justice and decriminalization, and it's starting to really reach out through other social, avenues, and it's becoming more accepted mainstream.
So on a federal level, still on what's the name of that list?
So it's called they schedule substances, and it's like 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1. I think there's 4 or 5 stages. But each of those schedules, there are levels of how dangerous it is and how addictive they may be and whether they have any sort of medical use at all. Schedule 1 is considered the most dangerous, the most addictive, and has 0 medical purposes. And for whatever reason, cannabis is listed in Schedule 1.
Probably since like the 60s.
Yes.
I was watching an old movie the other day with Peter Fonda and a motorcycle. They're driving across Mexico. You're too young to know that movie. But if you guys, if you're like over my age, I'm 59, which about my age, you probably remember that. It was Peter Fonda. I'm even Easy Rider. That's the name. Hey, Leah, our engineer here at the station, knows that. Easy Rider, if you get a chance.
Okay.
It's a classic.
Okay.
And they go across the border. It's classic. So if you guys are my age, you probably have seen it. I don't remember seeing it back in the 70s, but I watched it the other night. It was like pretty fascinating. And a couple of actors that you know now, they're in their 60s, but they were in their 20s back then. But it's amazing. But I think so. I guess I can talk about it because it was news. Yeah, last night, Senator Gabbard was talking about trying to take it off
deschedule it. Yeah, there's been a lot of efforts. This is not the first bill to do that. There have been efforts to get it off of that list. The biggest reason why they want to remove it from deschedule it, is because once the government federal government recognizes that there are in fact possible medical uses. Because if it's in Schedule 1, they've determined there is no medical use. Mm-hmm. But if the federal government opens up to the idea that there could be, what it does is it starts to allow research companies and universities to start studying it. And then we can have some real data, and then we'll have more information about how it could be used as a medicine. But a Schedule I drug cannot be studied legally, and they can't get funding to study something if it's considered a drug that the government has decided has no medical purposes. Well, and so that's one of the main reasons. It would be a big step in terms of us as a, you know, a world understanding and researching it.
Well, to me, that's kind of crazy because, you know, I mean, our state is very conservative. Department of Health says, okay, let's go do it. They must have got some kind of data.
Very interesting thing about Hawaii is that we were one of the first states to even legalize it medically.
We were the first state.
California was. We were the first to legalize it through legislation.
Oh, through legislation. Because I actually delivered a box to Lana Keeler Senior Center. Actually, I delivered two boxes there. And the new director is a former Senator Susie Chen Oakland. And she goes, you know, by the way, we were the first one in this union to pass legislation.
Yeah, we were in 2000.
10 years ago?
In 2000. It was almost 20 years ago.
Wow.
And unfortunately, of all of the states that have legalized it to some extent, we're the ones that took the longest to have dispensaries. Well, it took us 17 years to get
that's
a dispensary.
That's hard to believe. Yeah. But that's how conservative we are.
That is.
And we're still, you probably know better than me, you're still working through the kinks of in the processes and things.
Yeah.
And the growth of it.
We're still, it's still a very new process. A lot of the regulators and the lawmakers who have been tasked with creating this industry, they don't know much about cannabis because they're not the type of people that used it teenagers. And so there's a learning curve for them. And so we actually work very closely with the Department of Health, and we work very closely with the committees and legislation. It's really a team effort to make sure the industry succeeds.
Yeah. Okay. So we want to talk about some of the products,
yes,
uses. I don't want to leave out now. I know you guys do workshops, so I want to make sure we get to that.
Because sure.
I think besides reading the article, I think people need to get educated. And then if their doctor's not educated, we have a list in the magazine of people that you can go see that are experienced with this process of getting the 329 card.
Right. So Aloha Green Apothecary, we have monthly events. They're open to anybody. They're free. We usually hold them at public libraries around the island, depending on which rooms we can get reserved. But we do cannabis 101 classes. We do edibles classes. Our first one's going to probably be in the next couple months.
Wow.
So we do have all of these events that are available.
How do we find out about where the classes are?
So you can go to our website. And you can also, if you just Google Aloha Green Cannabis 101, it'll pop up. We've got a page on Eventbrite. You can go to, I think there's a link in that article in the Generations magazine. But if you go to agapoth.eventbrite.com, it actually has a list of all of our events. We put it all through that system. But we've got a lot of resources. There's a lot of stuff on the internet, and sometimes it's hard to decipher what's real, what's not. It's confusing. The other thing that we have is we've got a patient relationship specialist. His name's Aaron. His only job is to connect with people who want to learn more about cannabis.
And he's an employee of Aloha
Green. He's an official employee of Aloha Green. He's a full-time employee. And people can call him and talk to him. Even if they don't have a card, they can ask any sorts of questions, and he can also help them get a 329 card. His phone number, should I just?
Yeah.
Yeah. His phone number is 808-368-9289. 808-368-9289. His name is Aaron. And you guys can just call him. Give him a call, and he'll pick up if he's free and not with somebody else. And you can ask him almost any question that you have. We can't give medical or legal advice, but if it's stuff about getting the card, learning about cannabis, he can help you even if you don't have a card. In terms of getting a card, you have to get certified by a doctor. And I want people to understand that their doctor who certifies them does not prescribe cannabis to them. It doesn't tell them how much to take or what to take. The only role of the doctor is to certify to the state that this patient does in fact have one of those conditions that's required.
So who does tell them what this
is? So exactly. So the doctors don't. And so what happens is because the doctors don't know and they're not required to know, a lot of the information has to come from the patient consultants that are at the dispensary. So they're not just, you know, retail salespeople. These are people who are trained specifically to know about cannabis and how it can interact with everybody. We don't dose people. Everybody is so different that the general rule is you start real small and you go real slow. Everyone is surprisingly, you can have vastly varying experiences. That's what the doctor does. They just certify that this person does, in fact, have one of the qualifying conditions, and you apply online. And until recently, you were mailed a card that you needed to come in.
Right,
and now they'll email you a card.
So
it's much faster now. Before, we had wait times of up to two, 3 months.
Wow.
But now it's down to less than a week.
Well,
so
it's digitally getting
right,
an
if
email.
We digitally. It's great. And so the time of waiting is significantly shorter. There are many doctors still, if you talk to your PCP or you talk to your doctor and they're not comfortable, it's because there's still a lot of fear around doctors who think maybe their licenses might be revoked, or there's a lot of fear around it, a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah.
It is a scary thing to imagine that your entire career could disappear because you did something that, you know, is not federally legal. So there are a lot of doctors who are very hesitant. In that case, if your PCP won't, in the resource guide in the magazine, there are a list of many physicians and APRNs who will. And then you can also go to our website.
Big list here.
Yeah. There is a big list. That list is actually from our website.
Oh, okay.
On our website as well as a list of everyone, their links, their phone numbers.
One phone number is wrong, you said, right?
Our phone number is correct. Our email address and website is actually incorrect in the resource. So our website is agapoth.com.
Oh, not .org.
No. And the info email address is also, it's info@agapoth.com. The URL, AG stands for Aloha Green, and Apoth is short for apothecary, which is how we came up with that URL. But if you go to the website, we do have a list of physicians and APRNs.
But when I pull up on your website,
it still works.
It's
alohagreen.org or it's agapoth.com.
Green.org is when I pull up your website.
That's what it goes to, and we're actually phasing that out.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so the official will be agapoth.com. Yeah.
Oh.
And so if you go to our website, and also in the resource guide, there are lists of doctors and APRNs who will certify you.
APRNs.
Yeah, so APRNs, Advanced Practice Nurse Practitioners, I think. APRNs.
Yeah.
Registered nurses. There was a bill that passed last year, I think, that allows APRNs to certify.
We have Stephen Ito, House Call Medical, that does actually home visits.
Oh, you might want to talk to him to see if he's interested in certifying.
Give me a call. I want to find out if you do that.
But so you have to do that, and then you get a card. Once you come in, you can talk with the patient consultant, ask them a bunch of questions, and kind of get you started on a plan for figuring out what works best for you and your symptoms.
And so how are your patient consultants trained?
We have our own internal training. They have to learn about cannabis in general. They have to learn about the kinds of patients that we've been seeing. They learn specifically about the qualifying conditions that Hawaii has and how cannabis can help them. And then they have to know all about our products as well. So there's a comprehensive 3-month training process for all of our patient consultants.
Okay. And then we talked about earlier about the word terpenes. What is that?
Oh, okay.
And cannabinoids?
So let's talk about that. So this is how cannabis works. Cannabis is a plant, and we actually only use the female plants because only the females have the flower, and the flower is what is used as medicine. There isn't much, you know, the leaf that you see everywhere, there's actually almost nothing in those
leaves.
Like in
the front of the page, front of the magazine, that leaf there?
So these leaves over here, the
long ones?
The long ones, the image of the marijuana leaf, that has almost no medicine in it.
Oh, what's the bud. The bud area.
The bud. And if you see it, it kind of looks like it's frosty a little bit. They're called trichomes, and they're just like little pockets of like oil almost. In those little frosty ice-looking things are all of the compounds that are considered medicine. All of it's in there. Mm. And so there are two different types of compounds. One is called a cannabinoid, and others are called terpenes. Terpenes are everywhere. Terpenes, almost every smell, flower smells, smells that come from fruits and vegetables, almost all of them come from a terpene that is naturally produced by that plant. Things like lavender. Lavender, it comes from a terpene. I think it's called linalool. But linalool, we also know, lavender is very calming. It's a quality that terpene has.
I see.
Those same terpenes are also in cannabis and have those therapeutic effects. So now with terpenes, there's so many of them. We test for maybe 9 or 10 of them, but there's probably 40 or 50 that exist that could be in a cannabis plant. So those are terpenes that are available in many other places that kind of are in
like
nature
the CBD
everywhere.
Oils?
So then CBD is actually a cannabinoid. It's not a terpene.
Oh.
Cannabinoid, there's also many, many cannabinoids. We think there could be hundreds. We've identified at least 80 or 90 of them.
Wow.
But the most common ones are THC and CBD.
What do the acronyms stand for?
So THC is like tetrahydrocannabidiol.
Yeah, something like that. Right.
And then CBD is cannabidiol. Or it's a weird type of word that you wouldn't go around
but
pronouncing.
But does that come from the cannabis plant?
So that's actually in the plant. Uh-huh. It's in the trichomes, if you see it, things that look icy.
THC
and CBD are the most common. Most common, and like usually if you have a plant like this, you can have a plant where if you test the icy stuff, the oils, the trichomes, it could test to be 20% THC. So THC and CBD are the highest. There are others, but those are the two most common. THC is what gets you high. It is psychoactive.
Right.
That is what gets you high. But it's not the only thing it does. It does have a lot of medicinal effects, anti-inflammatory, a lot of other benefits. CBD, on the other hand, is not as common in the plant as THC. CBD does not get you high, but it has so many medicinal qualities. There are CBD-only products, which I think are very popular. You can get them online.
Without the THC.
Yeah, yeah. And that's an unregulated market, and a lot of people have been finding a lot of relief.
Why is it not regulated?
Because it doesn't get you high.
Oh.
Because it doesn't get you high.
So all this stuff that medical cannabis does.
Yes, because it contains THC.
All of it? All of the medical has THC?
Yes.
Okay.
So all of the products in the dispensaries here in Hawaii contain THC. It's the THC that makes it regulated. It's the THC that makes you have a license.
Yeah.
And so we've got products that have different ratios. So you can have a lot of CBD and a little bit of THC, or a lot of THC and a little bit of CBD, depending on what you are looking for and what you need. But the thing that we had mentioned earlier about hemp is the breed that has very little THC in it and is mostly CBD.
Wow.
So there's that. At the dispensaries, we have flower, which is harvested and cured, and you can actually you can either cook with it or you can smoke it, or you can make other things with it. We have tinctures, which are kind of like oils that you put under your tongue for those who don't want to inhale. We have cartridges that's for vaporizing, which is very similar to smoking it, but much much less detrimental to your body because you're not breathing in smoke, right? We've got lotions, but we do not have edibles.
So we're going to wrap this up. It's been an hour. So real quick, if you're interested, I would tell you, go down to the shop or call you guys up or call your patient advocate and set up a time to go to the workshop. That's probably the first thing to do.
Yep.
Otherwise, go to alohagreen.com.
No, agapoth.com.
Yeah, just Google it. You can just Google it.
You can just Google it. Aloha Green will pop up.
Helen, thank you so much. I got a great education. But yeah, so tell your friends about the show. It'll be on our website in about a week and a half. You can listen to it again. So thank you, Helen, from Aloha Green Apothecary on King Street.
Yep.
Appreciate your time. Have a great weekend, everybody. Aloha and live well.